Welcome to She Blows It Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Carla, and we're here on episode 4, season 5 of Glow Up, and I have two guests with me today. I have very special guest, Kendra, host from Coffee with the Kendra podcast, and I also have another special guest, Eric, from the Uncomfortable Conversations podcast. You guys, briefly introduce yourself, and ladies first. We're going to go ahead and start with Kendra. Kendra, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kendra from Coffee with Kendra. I'm from Cali. I'm currently in Los Angeles. And I'm a mom of two teenagers. And I just started my podcast this year.
Congratulations.
Cool.
Thank you.
Eric.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. This is Eric. Some people know me as You Know That One Guy. I am the host of the Uncomfortable Conversation podcast, and we are in our second season right now.
That's what's up. A lot of uncomfortable conversations going on.
Yeah.
Well, we came here to do what we always come to do. And here at She Blows It, we add a twist on journalism and lead deep thinkers to put the shoe on the other foot and view any story or situation from a different angle. So for everybody listening out there, follow this podcast on Instagram at SheBlowsIt_pod for the latest content and highlights of the week. Now let's get to it. In this segment, our first segment is going to be This Week in Modern Culture. A lot has gone on in 2021 already, as we all know, right?
Exactly.
It has been crazy. So in this segment, we're going to highlight a mix of entertainment news, national news, and just global awareness topics. Feel free to throw in your two cents. The first thing that really stood out to me and the first thing that I was very happy about is Joe Biden lifting the LGBTQ military ban, which essentially is going to allow transgender, obviously, homosexuals, and the likes to serve in the military. And in my opinion, I think that sexual orientation has nothing to do with, you know, dedication and service to the United States. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Ladies first.
To be honest, I don't give a damn who's fighting in the military. If they want to fight, we should let them fight. Now I am concerned with, you know, their room and boarding, you know, because I feel like they, you know, that it might cause some issues with heterosexual men, and that's my concern, that they might be in a position where they get hurt there. But once again, that's their choice. Like, you know, they choose to do that, you know, and I think that kind of comes with the consequences, shall bust something, you know, bad happen.
Right. And, you know, that's an interesting perspective and point that you made as far as room and board.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a lot of people out there who are very homophobic, and they don't it's just something that is learned. They've learned to feel that way about them.
Uh-huh.
And they just feel like, I can't do this. This is against everything I believe. So that's a very interesting perspective, room and board. Eric, how would you feel about that?
Okay, I'm going to come from the other side of the coin.
Yes.
I serve in the United States military for 5 years.
Okay. Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you. And I would say that it's always been there. I wouldn't say transgender, because I mean, I would say homosexuality, just a lot going on in the military on that side, you know, from the inside. But when it comes to, as you said, as Kendra said, like room and board, when you go to basic training, when you go to boot camp, you have to be put in. I was in my boot camp. I was in a room with 88 other guys. You know, I was in boot camp for 2 months. So lifting that ban, you know, like you have to pretty much reconstruct the way the military operates after that. because there are certain things that, you know, like if someone's going through the process of, you know, transgender or the surgery and whatnot, like you have to cater to their certain needs. And when you join the military, it goes, you know, country first. Like you're pretty much signing your life away for X amount of years, and you're, you know, the mission is number one. How you feel is like number three or four on the list. So I'm all for it, but that's going to be touchy. That's going to be the way they word that, the way they construct that whole process.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
When you say that the military, I'm sorry to cut you off, Kendra. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I know, just like he said, like there's always been homosexual people everywhere, you know, not maybe not openly, but they've been in the military. But when you have a man who is in the middle of transforming into a woman, in a heterosexual man who is not gay or, you know, or not even homophobic, he may not necessarily want to be in the same room with him, you know, and share a room with a guy that is, you know, because he's attracted to me. And like, how I'm concerned on how that aspect is going to work, you know, because if I was a woman in the military, I wouldn't want to be in a room, going to be getting dressed and stuff. I'm not saying that they do get dressed, because I haven't been there, so I don't know. But like, if I'm going to be, you know, walking around, you know, getting dressed and having a guy, you know, kind of in the room, like I think that would be kind of awkward. And that's kind of like what my concern is for their safety.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this, like for those 2 months I had to shower with these guys, I had to sleep with these let me rephrase that. We slept in the same, you know,
camp.
Room, you know, same camp. We showered, like, there were maybe 14, 15 of us showering at one time. So someone going through that, you have to accommodate, because maybe they're not all the way male. Maybe they're not all the way female yet. So you have to create a whole, like I said, you got to create a whole different.
That's what I mean, like a section just for them, right?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So the solution would be to kind of segregate them and let them be in their own
space.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
but when you think about it though, like, okay, so I understand that I'm not, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you feel uncomfortable. For me personally, like, I wouldn't care if I were in the military and there was a transgender woman there with me. Because for the most part, I mean, you don't even really like me. Like, so it doesn't bother me. And that's the way that I look at it, although that's not the case 100%. But I just always look at it as, you know, if I'm in there and you're a transgender woman who likes men, I'm not really bothered because you don't want me.
But
and for men, I know it's different, because it's like I don't know what to call it. It's like a alpha male thing, like, no, I'm not going to be around you like that. Like, we're not cool like that. Like, Eric, what word am I
looking for? You are, no. When you said alpha male, you hit it right. Like,
yeah, I think
You have a bunch of alpha male guys who, you know, they're gung-ho. They just want to get out there. And, you know, hey, wait a minute, hold on. I can curse right on here. Okay, yes, we're fucking listening.
Okay, thanks, Zach.
All right, so
blows it.
So you have a bunch of alpha males who want to get in there and just shoot some shit up, blow shit up, right? So even with the, like I said, even I don't know if I had any homosexuals in my boot camp with me, my division, but you have heterosexual guys who just stand, you know, like, would just make it awkward for you. Like, you know, like I told you, we showered 15 guys at a time. And, you know, everybody's just, we out there in our birthday suits just taking showers and whatnot. It was just, so I can't fathom how someone who's going through that process can be around a bunch of alpha males, or there are also alpha females. Like military, you got some of the crazy. Yes. You got a mix. You got a crazy mix in there.
Facts, big facts. There are some alpha females out there. Shout out to all the alpha females.
So, Carla, I have a question.
Yes,
you said you wouldn't mind if there was a woman who is transforming into a man being in the same camp with you, right?
I wouldn't have a problem with a man who is transforming into a woman. But no, I also wouldn't have a problem with it the other way around either. No.
Okay, so either way you're okay with.
Yeah, as long as there's a respect and a boundary, I'm cool.
Oh, no, you lose all those boundaries in there.
Yeah, because
I'm cool. I am very, like, when it comes to stuff like that, I am very direct and very vocal about what it is that I want. And, like, if there's a boundary, there's a boundary. You know, like, I might not have to be open and say it, but my actions will show, like, okay, I'm not with that. Like, I respect you. I respect what you're for. Mm-hmm. But that's just not, you know, something I am personally into.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, go ahead, Kendra. Go ahead, Kendra.
I think for me, it's just with trannies, it's a fine line, because I'm going to use Caitlyn Jenner, for example, right? He says he still likes women and he dates women, but he's transformed into a woman. So they have fine lines between, they can transform into whatever they want to and then say, well, I still like this sex, you know? And so that's my deal had I have to be in the army. You know, that would be my deal.
Yeah, it's such a thin line. And, you know, now society is at a point where they have to accept it or else they'll be viewed as X, Y, and Z, which in a sense is cool, because it's cool to let people individually do, you know, what they want to do. So it's good that there's a shift in, you know, modern culture where that is becoming accepted. And not only is it becoming accepted, but the differences of opinions and ideas around it are accepted as well, you know?
Yeah.
But while we're on, like, the topic of same sex and homosexuality and LGBTQ.
ABCFG. Sorry, I had to do it.
That's funny, because last week on Eric's podcast, we talked about
Boy.
And the same reference was made, and I thought that it was funny that you said that.
Oh, God.
With the extra letters. But I had no, like, okay, so I had no idea who this guy was until I just saw stuff floating around on social media or whatever. And what I did learn about him, and I don't know if you guys knew this, maybe I live under a rock on another planet. But, okay, for one, I know they said he was a porn star. You guys all know that. I guess he was on OnlyFans or something. He became
talking about Jimmy? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
We're talking about
Here
Jimmy.
We go.
Here we go. Let's get to it. No, we didn't come here playing.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I was just wondering, like, okay, so he made, like, he became a millionaire as a content creator for OnlyFans. Like, I never even heard of him until this, like, stuff about him having a dick in his face. Like, I never heard of him. Did you guys hear about him before any of this?
I have.
No, girl.
He dated Trina.
I had to Google him when you sent the email.
I have.
I said, Jimmy who?
Okay, so now I don't feel so bad. They were talking about he fucks midgets and shit. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how the midgets he fucks, they have fat asses and stuff. I'm
don't
like, what
all
is
midgets
this
have fat asses.
Y'all seen, I'll be honest, y'all probably seen the meme floating around there and y'all just didn't know it was him.
I did. That, like, I did. I put it together when I got the email.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, he's been around. So, like, the, you know, it was, they're sitting in the car, she's sitting on his lap, and he slaps her butt and she looks at him. So the meme was floating out a couple of weeks before this whole dick in the face video surface just for the record.
But what I'm not clear about is there was a dick in the face, but what did he do with the dick in his face? Like, did he do anything with it? Because then that changes the conversation.
It was definitely in his mouth a few times.
Okay.
In the video, like if you go back, like, it was the video was only 30 seconds, and I didn't watch the video. You know, one of my co-hosts on my show, she watched it, and she told me about it, and I said, I don't want to see it. Even though she sent me the link, don't want to see it. You could tell that in the video, from her words, he's not a professional. This was probably his first or second time doing it. But he got the...
His first or second time doing what?
Giving head.
To a man. Uh-huh. Man, okay.
Yeah.
Pre-op trans gender.
So, I mean, the dick is a dick. I don't know if it's a man. Does that even matter? It's still a dick.
Those are facts now.
I told you about this last week.
If he put a dildo in his mouth, it would have been the same thing.
True.
Yeah, it's still a dick.
And I said it last week, Carla. Ain't no, I can't do it. Like, there's never been a thought that crossed my mind to put some meat in my mouth from another man.
Damn, Morpheus, what you about to do? I love you, man. Nigga, you gay.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
It just doesn't work like that.
What's crazy is, okay, my understudy is in intro to gender and sexuality, mm-hmm. right? So I see a lot of these perspectives. I've read about them. I've done so much research just on this shit in general, just trans, cisgender, all of that shit, right? So when I look at him, he is like the epitome of everything that I've been fucking studying. Like, he literally admitted, and there's like a video of him engaging in sexual acts with a man, but he's just so nonchalant about it. He's just like, you know, I just wanted to try something different, and that don't make me gay. Like, I just wanted to try something different. Like, he is adamant about that.
They always
and are. Like I was saying on your, yeah, and like as I was saying on the Uncomfortable Conversations podcast, it's like, if he doesn't identify as being gay, despite him engaging in the acts that are considered to, you know, modern society as being gay because it's a man on man, then like what can we say?
You're
to
gay.
Him?
Like, what, you're still gay. To... Like I don't like. There's no other way to explain it. Even if you want to experiment, you're still gay. If you want to, if you even have thoughts about being with a man, you are gay. And it's okay. Like, I don't care. No one cares. But you are gay. Yeah. Like, let's be real. Let's just be real. If you have some nuts or anything anywhere near, just loose near your body, I'm gonna think you gay, okay?
Oh, this is uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. Like I told you, and I had this conversation with a couple other people after the podcast aired. They say that, you know, sex is there's a spectrum to sex, and I'm like, yeah, and you know what's comfortable for me, or what's comfortable with, let's use Jimmy. What's comfortable for Jimmy? That's him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, should I really be offended that he out here, you know, sucking meat? Like, and should I be offended? And I thought about it, and I was like, well, no, it doesn't really hurt me. It's just uncomfortable to watch or even talk about. But then I sat up there, and I was like, well, if he just wants to just, you know, sleep or whatever, I mean, if he gonna get a check for it, you know, hey man, get your bag, you know, like, just keep it over there. Like, I still, my personal opinion is, you know, maybe he's not gay. He might be curious, bisexual. I mean, but that goes into the what's the word you used last week, Carla? Social. There you go. Social construct. Like we define what sex is. Like we define that man and woman, man and woman, man and woman. And then like that's just what we were pretty much conditioned to think. But if you think about it,
correct.
Two men, man on man, a lot of people, ew, no, nasty. But then you sit up there and you think woman on woman, oh, that's okay. No, that's, exactly. That's still nasty, right? Exactly. If we're going by the social construct.
Exactly. But no, not even. But with women, it's more tolerable. It's more acceptable. Like, when men think about a man on a man, it's, oh my gosh, that shit is nasty as fuck, crusty feet rubbing together. But then when they think about two women fucking on each other, that's all, oh, yeah, man, that's the shit. Like,
I guess you would sit up there and think, like, let's use that military reference from the last question. Like, two alpha males, okay. Right? You got two alpha males just like muscle bound meatheads just sitting up there. They one of them bending over for the other one. I guess that's what you think man, you think masculine, you think, you know, testosterone, hormones, strong. You put two strong figures together and now they're doing something intimate. I think that's where we all are. That's what all makes us kind of upset or uncomfortable.
It don't make me either. I feel like this. Here's the thing, and I'm not gonna say like it's okay when women do it. Like it's the reason why I don't even really, to be honest, I don't label any woman a lesbian because they, and I could be wrong. Lesbians, you know, they probably gonna check me at some point, but y'all want penetration at the end of the day, right? So you can go and have fun and play with your girlfriend, but at some point y'all want to be penetrated by each other or from someone, right? And men who are gay, they want penetration as well. So therefore, to me, if a woman is playing with her friend or her girlfriend and then they go and get a toy and they penetrate each other, you still want to be penetrated, and that comes from being a man. Now, a guy, if he wants to be penetrated, that's different because he's not supposed to be penetrated. And that's kind of how I see it.
Oh, that's just very uncomfortable.
Sorry about that, Eric.
it's very uncomfortable.
This is crazy coming from the host.
Like, I didn't want to do that episode. I didn't want to talk about it, but, you know, it's something we got to talk about, and I got to step out of my comfort zone. That I'm still not okay with it, but I'm gonna have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. And that's the thing though, Eric, like it's okay to not be.
You know
okay.
What? I like I'm you I'm running with mean? That. Like, it's okay to not be.
Yes. Okay. No, yes, okay that's a good statement. Okay, yes, definitely. Because I think when we're not okay with something, then it's gotta be, oh, you're homophobe, oh, you're this and you're that. And it's like, why do I have to be okay with something? You know? Like, you just have to accept everything. Now, when you go out of your way to do like commit a hate crime, that's completely different. But I don't have to like what you're doing. I don't never have to like what anybody is doing, whether it be being gay or like, you know, playing with a bum. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't have to like anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is like something that intrigues me. Like, I'm very intrigued by people who are much different than me, who have a different perspective. Because I know that like my thinking can be like so left field. So and that's the thing too, like if we all like agreed to the same shit and if we all were okay with the same shit, like what would that say about us? Like,
right.
You know, like that means that like we can't even embrace our own level of thinking. So like I really like think that you should embrace that part of yourself, Eric, and say fuck that. Just like Kendra said, she don't give a damn. You know what people do. So at the end of the day, like you shouldn't give a damn. Like
I'm not okay with that. I'm okay to say this on the She Blows It podcast. I didn't say it on my podcast.
No.
Oh, that was a bad reference.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant like.
Okay. All right. No, but no, I'm not. I'm. It's okay for me to not be okay with that.
Yes. Let's normalize that.
Yes. Let's normalize not being okay with everyone's social construct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Like, and since we're on this topic of not being okay, let's talk about how these hedge fund investors are being mad. Mm-hmm. Kendra, and Eric. So, you guys, I play around in the stock market a little bit, and I dibble and dabble here and there. And I have a lot of friends who dibble and dabble and who invest. And when I woke up and saw like the frenzy about GameStop and AMC, like I wasn't surprised, but it was just interesting to me, like what large investors and people with money had to say. Like I was like, y'all mad people found a way to make money. Like they were called, they were like, oh, well, this is just amateur investors yelling on the internet. Like, what did y'all think about that? Like the fact that in a world where we know and we hear about the people who don't want us to get ahead, they don't want us to have money, they make it hard for us to make a living. Like how you feel about actually hearing how they really feel and how they want to keep all of the shit to themselves and for themselves. We can start with Kendra.
Well, I feel like this is the norm, right? Of us not, you know, being able to do the things that they do and, you know, them trying to like keep us beneath them, so to speak. So I'm not really surprised by it, but I'm just I'm happy that we're doing it. I'm glad that people
too,
stepped up
absolutely.
And made that move.
And it made me, for sure. It just made, I made like a correlation and I make these like wow correlations. It was just like the correlation, like with everything that kind of like happened at the Capitol. Right?
Oh
like,
boy.
I just made a correlation to that because it's like, okay, you know, the same way people turn a blind eye to inequality is the same way like people are doing in like the stock market and with money. Like with this event and like with investors coming out and getting angry and making the little condescending comments about amateur investors and people who are really trying to like make do for their family during this pandemic where people are losing jobs and having to find more innovative and creative ways to do things, it kind of is like, okay, now it's transparent, like what it really is. And it can't be any clearer than it is right now. So if you ain't woken, if you ain't paying attention, then you still
sleep. I say this. I got a reference for you because you definitely used the protest, I mean, the insurrectionists or whatever. But I look at it as y'all have seen the Eddie Murphy movie Trading Places, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an old school movie back in the 80s. Remember when
with the white guy?
Yeah, when they took him off of the street and with him and Dan Aykroyd or whatever. And Eddie got in there and he made them some money. He was an amateur. He didn't know what he was doing. So I look at it like, for the record, I have been in the stock market for a few years now. Just testing it out. Okay. I hope my financial advisor doesn't hear this because he's going to be mad. Because I'm not taking it serious. But the GameStop and the AMC stocks, first off, ain't no movies open. We definitely in a pandemic right now, but you know what? I'm going to let that slide. But GameStop, the people are at home. They're still buying video games. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not really much to do it because outside ain't open. But the GameStop thing was, that's like if we all tell 20 of our friends to sit up there, hey, look, let's go put some money into this. That's going to boost the stock. Now, these people who thought that GameStop was going to, you know, bottom out or whatever and just crash, those are the hedge fund. Those guys were expecting it to sit up there and get low and so they can buy it back and raise it up.
Exactly, but they get mad for somebody else.
I mean, right. You look at it, it's like, yo, they've been doing this for X amount of years, and they come in here, and for one, what, a couple of days, these guys come in and make a couple thousand dollars. Now, mind, like, it was short-lived, because the GameStop is now going back down. The stock is going back down on that, but they're mad at us for trying to get ahead, and that is the most selfish shit that I could ever think of. But we're trying to play their game, and we're trying to learn their game.
Level up.
Exactly. We're trying to level up with them.
We're trying to glow up too. So since we're on the glow up now, thank you for that, Eric. But when it comes to the phrase glow up, one thing I came up with when I was jotting down notes for the episode is that, like, I want everyone listening, including you guys who are on here, my two guests, my two lovely guests on here. Like, if y'all don't take nothing else away from the show, understand that before the glow up, you have to make amends with the blow up, right? So what I mean by that is that you have to accept the rough patches, or you have to accept the phases in life where, you know, everywhere you go, there's an obstacle, and you have to make it out of the trenches and get into the glow. So I asked some of my followers on the She Blows and Instagram page a question, and I asked them, what does the glow up mean to you? The answer seemed like they were pretty standard to me. Like, everybody felt the same way. So I want to see if you guys feel the same way. So we're all going to go through them together. You tell me if you agree or disagree. So here are the responses to the glow up survey. So somebody said to me, the results of the grind. So their response to what the glow up is to me, the results of the grind. We often don't look our best while the empire is being built.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
I can get with that one too.
I can agree with that. Because I'll say that you know, like, you may not, people may not see the work that you put in, which would be that we don't look our best. Like, you don't see me doing these 60, 70 hours a week, but you do see me taking, you know, you do see me on vacation. If I decide to post a picture when I'm on vacation, you do see that part. I could give it.
Yeah,
That part. All right. So I agree with you guys too on that one. So the second response that I got was, the glow up means growth to
me.
Did
I say that?
I totally agree with that. Yeah, you did.
I could, that sounds like something I say. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I ain't even gonna say anything. Yeah, I said that. Go ahead.
You know, I was gonna put Eric said that, but I was like, I'm not gonna put that. That's something I said. All right. The last one was letting my light shine.
I'm a little confused by that one, to be honest.
Yeah, thank you, Kendra. You said it. Okay.
Because
why y'all confused?
Where's the glow up? That's like, you already have the glow up. You're just like, I mean, if I'm trying to like make it make sense, but that's what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, I see. I can see that, because it's like letting my light shine.
Put a light in mine, but go ahead.
I was thinking that too, though.
That's just me, though. I don't like when you say letting my light shine. That's your. Are you, whoever said this? Are you saying that, like, we're watching the end result? Is that what we're talking about? Letting my light shine. Is that?
Yeah, we definitely, that's debatable, because the whole point is we need to get into the details. Yeah. The tunnel, the end of the tunnel.
Right, and she already has the light. That's why
we still got our boots up.
Okay. He glued up.
He already glued up. All right. All right, so we got through the comments. Thank y'all for that. So then let's start with Kendra. Okay, well, before we start with Kendra, what we're going to do is we're all going to individually just define what the glow up means to us from our point of view and make connections. I love to make connections, so you can make connections to whatever you want. But let's make connections to how the glow up is and what the glow up looks like for us. So Kendra, let's start with you. What is the glow up?
I think the glow up could be in any way that you better yourself. You know, like you can go from being out of shape to being in shape. You can go from like, you know, being the not so cute kid in school to being a beautiful adult. You could be, like Eric said, working, you know, telling people, oh, I'm starting a business and, you know, they're not paying attention to you and you're putting all this work and then your product comes out and everybody's amazed by your product and you're making money. That's a glow up as well. That's pretty much my definition of a glow up.
That just made me excited. I love that.
My glow up, my Eric, definition of the glow up would be, it starts, first off, it starts within you. You said earlier, you said something about the blow up. You know, I don't remember what you said, but the rough patch. Before you can glow up, you got to get right with yourself. Like how Kendra just said with the, you know, they used to be out of shape. Now they're in shape. Like you, that's a mental, your state of mind is like, yo, you know, I want to get here. I got this goal. I want to get here. I got this business. I want to get that. You know, you have to fix certain things inside yourself. And when you start doing that, like, I'm still glowing. I'm still glowing and going. But, you know, like, from where, I'll just say personally, from where I was a year ago to now, like, that path has been so rough. And it's like, mentally, I had to change my thought process, change the way I eat, change the way I do things, I had to change the circle around me.
That was Tupac. Change the way we eat, the way we live.
You have to do that. Like for me to be where I want to go, I can't take everybody with me. I can't hang with the same people that I hung with maybe like 6-7 years ago because I'm trying to do this and they're still there. Like, okay, all right, I'll catch y'all when I come home. That's my glow up. It starts with me. It starts with you individually.
I agree.
Yeah, especially the taking everybody with you. Like you can't. And you know, that is a very challenging part of the journey, because if you're like me, it's like you look at it from a perspective of like, okay, I want everybody to win. I want everybody to win. But then you have to understand that not everybody wanna win. Not everybody wants to put in that work to win. You know what I'm saying? So I'll give y'all my definition of the glue up. So the glow up to me is a combination of everything that you guys just said, all of those things. For me, to make it more cohesive and define it, the glow up is like when hard work is a ritual, like not hard work just only from like your 9-to-5 or diving in head first into your projects. But like you said, Eric, hard work within, like inside. You can have a pretty face and you can have bad character. What's that? I got that from a song and I don't even remember his name. But the song Pretty Face and Bad Character.
No. Never heard of it.
I listen to music. No, I don't know that one.
What? Okay, so I got to send that to y'all when we get off of here. But you can have a pretty face and a bad character, and that's not, and that's just not symbolic of the glow up. So the glow up is not like just being pretty and just being cute on the outside. Beauty starts on the inside and beauty manifests its way out. And I think you both said that in two different ways, two amazing ways. And when you start understanding like some of your toxic behaviors and or the toxicity you allow in your life, like you get to a point where it's like, fuck that, I need to be happy, period. And that's where it comes in, where you guys said, you know, you can't take everybody with you. You know, you can't have certain people in your life anymore. The same people that you dealt with years ago, you still can't fuck with them now because y'all are on different wavelengths. So when you start living for you and having like minimal, I mean, for me at least, when you just have minimal to no concern with what other people think about you, While at the same time, like, just knowing, like, you wake up every day and you're like, I'm the bomb, I'm the shit, and I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do regardless.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure absolutely. You guys could relate to that. Now, when we talk about, like, finding the beauty within yourself, internally and externally, like, with the beauty within, the glow up radiates, like, into other areas of your life, too, if you guys agree, like, your level of confidence to manage day-to-day tasks. Like, okay, I don't know what you guys do, but when I'm, like, down or something and I know, like, I need to pick myself the fuck up, like, I'll just go and I'll, like, meditate, I'll listen to some music. And lately what I've been doing is, like, I'll just get up and do my makeup. I work from home, so I really don't have a need to, like, get dressed or do anything. But, like, when I make myself feel better on the outside, I start to feel better on the inside and I start to work better and I'm more productive and I get more shit done. Like, how does that work for you?
Definitely. I definitely agree with you. Like, everything. So pretty much how you feel within is going to trickle into your everyday life. Right. So if you wake up and you're not having such a good day, or maybe you was having a good day and then, you know, something happened and you didn't, you know, it kind of changed your mood. That mood is going to your that mood and that energy you're going to is going to trickle into everything else. Like, you know, maybe work, maybe your family, the people when you go out and about, you know. But I think to answer your question, I'm agreeing with you that it definitely starts from within. So I help people, I help people lose weight for a living. So people come and they, so people come and they, you know, they're a little overweight and, you know, they'll come and start and say, you know, I don't wear this, you know, certain clothes I don't wear now. And when they start losing, even if it's just 5 pounds, the confidence that you see in them completely changes. The way that they're carrying themselves, you know, through the office now, and the way that they are more likely to say hi and people in public and smile, you know, all of that energy comes from within. So when you make little changes, we bring that out into every day, every other day, you know, everything else in your life. Am I making sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like,
I said it makes sense. Something. I was
what
agreeing
were you gonna
with
say, Eric? I didn't mean to cut you. Yeah, I just live by this motto, like, just drink your water, mind your business, take your vitamins, drink some good green tea with kombucha. Do you drink
green
tea?
I drink
green
tea, not with kombucha, though, because I do that separate. So the kombucha I drink cold. And yeah, I never heard of it like that.
Yes, the yogi teas, they sell the yogi teas with the green tea and kombucha right in it. And it's amazing with some honey. I have a cup like every morning. Like sometimes I try to get away from the coffee.
Don't be mad at
you. I'm not.
Don't be mad, friend. But sometimes, like, I have to, like, switch it up and do some tea. So I'll always do a green tea with kombucha. And it has caffeine in it, too.
No,
so
tea is
like,
good for you. Green tea is really good for you, too, and the kombucha. So you get those antioxidants and the probiotics. Yeah.
Y'all speak the same language to me.
Yes. What about...
I drink coffee, so I drink tea, but, drink like, that, I'm just getting into that healthy, the kombucha tea, I just started using fresh vegetables, I want to say for the past year, and fresh vegetables and stuff, it's so much better than that.
Congratulations.
You know, I'm new to this.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just ordered a mortar and pesto set so I could get my spices right. But like I said, I'm new. So, you know, I'm a rookie on this, but y'all got it.
Nice.
I love that. Y'all are so dope. That is so cool.
Oh, did you want to know my beauty from the internal or no? Oh, okay. All right. My bad.
I thought that's what you were.
I'm going to steal what you said, Carla, on one of your, I think it's season one. Your vibe determines your tribe. Right? So, and piggybacking off of what Kendra said, like when people start working out and they start feeling better, like, me personally, when I, because I work so much, when I sit up there and I shower, I shave, I use my beard stuff, and I'm like, oh, I start feeling myself. Oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah. Can't nobody tell you nothing, huh?
You can't tell me
nothing.
You can't tell me. You can tell me Jesus came back and I ain't listening to you because I'm feeling myself. You know, like, because it's one of those things. It's like, I personally think that when I take that shower, I wash that, the negative energy, all that negative energy goes down the drain. And, you know, it's like a reset. Every time I take a shower, it's a reset. It's a reset for me. So, but when I add that, you know, my shave, my beard routine, you know what I'm saying? Like that, I put and Carla, you was throwing shade earlier because I always feel good in the morning when I shower and all of my pictures are in my car. So I be feeling good. Like I feel like I have to feel good.
I was not throwing shade. Okay, all right.
But that, it's like I feel better when I wash away those bad vibes, when I wash away that negativity, and I just take my shower and I reset. In my showers, I reset myself because that's the only time I got to myself. I can talk, you know, I can pump myself up, and it's like, all right, yeah, this is what we're gonna do. Okay, yeah, you got it. Boom, fresh.
Yeah, ready to you go. Ready for today? I'm ready.
Yeah, are you ready for today?
Today ain't ready for me. I'm ready for today.
Kendra, do you wake up?
I don't get enough sleep, so I'll be up late doing work. And so when I wake up, I'll be like, oh my God, let me get some coffee so I can get my life. No, we don't wake up ready for coffee. But I get ready.
As long as you're getting up and moving. I was up one morning and I was so exhausted. And like, I was up at like 5:30 watching a YouTube video. I'm sitting there. I had my iPad propped up and I'm watching you and I'm like cleaning around my area. It was like 5:00 in the morning. I'm like, yo, this is my life right now. I am just up at 5 a.m. tired as fuck.
Yeah, me, I be struggling.
Still with plenty of work to do. So when we talked about the glow up, we talked about financial glow up, like just through like the hedge fund and like learning innovative and new ways to make money, like finding your niche in the business world, selling that successful product, like you said, Kendra, and making the extra money is the glow up. Glowing up in a new job, like just when you realize that you're tired of the same toxic environment, that takes a lot in you. Because a lot of people identify with their jobs because that is what keeps them afloat. So, like, just to make that change in general is just, just anxiety written in itself, you know? So when you actually glow up and you grow up and you like, I'm not doing this shit no more. I can do way better. I can make way more money. And I know I'm worth it. And I'm going to take this leap of faith. That is the ultimate career glow up.
I agree.
And then with the career glow up too, y'all, it's like sometimes like I have a lot of friends who've been working at the same place forever. And it's like when you realize that what you've been doing for so long is just simply something that you're trained to do, it's not something that like you gloat about every day and smile about every day and like that makes you want to wake up and go to work every day. Like, what do y'all think about that? Do you think that like work is supposed to be something that you love, or is work supposed to be something that you just wake up every day and you just do it because you need to make the money and you just need to make the money to supply this business and do this and this and this and this?
I think work is definitely opinions. I mean, you are blessed if you do have a job that you enjoy doing, but work is work. You're working for someone, you're helping somebody else get rich. You are designated to give them a certain time frame out of your day. 5 days of the week. I don't think that's enjoyable to anybody really, but like I said, you're lucky if you do have something you enjoy doing. I believe that that's why it's called work, right? When you are walking in your passion and making money out of your passion in life, I think that's the ultimate goal. But work, no, that's work. That's not enjoyable. When I have something that I enjoy doing and I'm getting paid for it, and I don't have to work a 9-to-5. I can work 3 days a week if I want to. I can work 5 hours a week if I want to. That's the ultimate goal. And then when I am working, that's something that I'm enjoying doing. Yes. That's the ultimate goal. Work, no, it's not supposed to be like, you know, the end all be all. And no, I don't look at it as something that you should or most people enjoy. Like, I don't think nobody enjoys work.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Like, everyone isn't meant for this world and the business acumen, I mean.
Big facts. I'm agree with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to agree with you.
I think we all have our own special gifts or talents that we're born with, and just tapping into it is as individuals, you know, that's something personal that we all have to do. Like, a lot of people are okay with just work. Personally, I'm not. Is my boss gonna hear this? I don't care. I hate my job.
Your boss hates his job.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, if you get up every day and you're happy to sit up there and clock in and you're getting and it's not about and it's not even about the check. Mm-mm. That's a career. That's not work. If you're just sitting up there going in, as Kendra say, 5 days a week, clocking in on this person's time clock just to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Now, what you do with that time while you're there, if you decide to sit up there and start a podcast or work on your craft while you're there, it's all about what you do with your time personally. You know, like I tell you, I hate work, but I'm a hard worker. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you y'all that makes absolute sense. I hate working, and I am the most laziest worker that there is. I try to do the bare minimum at work.
That's just the real truth. I'm gonna do the bare minimum.
Oh. I'm gonna just keep it real.
That's some real shit. That's some real shit, though.
Like, you can't say I'm not doing my job.
Like, you ain't going to say I'm hard working.
Right, but I'm just not going to go correct. Like, no. Like, but could I ask you a question? So, do you, obviously you do. I know you do. I already know the answer, but I'm going to just ask you anyway, just so that I'm not assuming. You put more energy and time into your personal craft, right? Like, that means...
Yep, you damn right. You damn right. And if I can get away with doing that on the clock, Kendra will do it. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of it, too. I'm guilty of it. I told you, Carla. I was at work working on my notes for my podcast for my next episode. Like, I have to be doing... I'm at work, and... Yeah, if I have a task, yeah, I'll complete it, and then I go back to what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. You know what I just thought about? Friday.
He said when Debo be around,
when he leave.
I'll be quiet.
Wait, I don't
when
know he leave. How to
I'll be talking again.
I'll be talking again.
Exactly.
That's exactly me.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, this is how I feel about it. Okay. So I'm a very deep thinker and feeler, right? And I look at shit that happens around the world from like a very deep perspective. When I broke down the logistics of work and what work really is and how, okay, there's a top. I'm way down here. Y'all getting all of this and y'all can't even give me what I'm worth. Mm-hmm. You know, when you work in a place and you know what your worth is and you know you're not getting that.
You're a threat. That hurts. If you know your worth at somebody else's job, you're a threat. You're a big threat. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh no,
that's me exactly. And I know that I've never gotten paid what I was worth. I know that, especially being that I know my purpose in life now. I know that I do not get paid what I'm worth. Therefore, like I said, when you're not looking, I'm going to be working on my business so I can pay myself what I'm worth. And that's my whole point of working the bare minimum, is because I know I'm not getting paid my worth in the first place. So you're only going to get this minimum work style in the first place.
You're only going to get what you're paying me for. Okay.
Exactly. All right. You're going to get exactly what you're giving me.
Okay. All right.
And that's where a lot of businesses need to glow up. Like, they need to treat their employees much better. They need to glow up in that aspect. It's like, when you look at the logistics of business and where you are in that, like, pay bracket, like, it's just like, really, this is what you really think of me? Or when you like work for certain people or different companies that like try to pull wool over your eyes, and they think that you don't know certain policies, procedures, mm-hmm. or standards, or they think that you're not smart enough to know certain things, or they don't think that you have enough business acumen to understand certain moves that they're making. It's are you serious?
They're gonna
test mm-hmm. my intelligence.
Oh yeah.
Are we doing this?
Then
today?
When you do, they don't like you. So I'm speaking from experience.
I'll say me. I'm that guy at work. I mean, I'll stick up for it. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And some people have told me, why do you talk to the department head crazy like that? It's like, why not? I mean, you know, like, why? I mean, like, I'm getting paid a decent amount of money, but you're not going to talk to me any type of way. You're not going right. to, you're not going to mm-hmm. belittle me or speak condescendingly to me, like, at all. At all.
Yeah.
But when you know your worth.
Correct.
All right, I'm just here. I'm just here because I got a light bill and a mortgage and
exactly. We paying the bills right now.
And like I leave here, I go to Amazon if you want me to. You know, like when you know your worth, I'm telling you, you are a threat to the business world of people who know that you know your worth. They try mm-hmm. to do their best to keep you. They really do.
Yeah, and you know, it's so, you know, off that show The Office, like, it does really depict a lot of like the petty shit that goes on in the office, like, for real. Like, people like are petty. They don't want to see you glow up. They don't want you to know more than them. And like you said, then when you know more than them, you become a threat. And I just have a problem with exchanging my time for something that's not aligned with what I'm doing. Like, when you think about your job, you work between what, 6 to 8 hours? Part-time job.
I've never had a part-time job.
I have a full-time job. Like 25 hours a week, something like that.
Yeah, I've never had one of those.
So it could be 5 to 6 hours, like 3 days, 4 days or something.
So let's assume it's a full time
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
Not including the travel to and from.
That's what I was going to say, exactly.
So that, are you looking at what, maybe 10 hours a day?
That is the whole day. Yes. Which, it makes me feel robbed. Like, mm-hmm. it makes me feel like I'm a slave to the clock. It makes me feel robbed of my time. Now, I'm not being robbed. Let me make that clear. Obviously, because I'm getting paid to do something. But I just feel like my time could be utilized more effectively doing other shit. Aside from spending a whole day doing something for somebody else. Because it goes back to that self-care thing where you glow up from the outside. And when you do that from the outside, you make yourself feel good on the inside. Like, it goes back to that. Like, I don't feel good giving all my time away. Like, my time is valuable and precious to me. Like,
time is one thing that you can never get back.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I always ask this question, like, who created time? Like, why does time exist? And what would the world
will
be
we
like
all be babies
if
though?
There was no time? Like,
no, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, that's a good question. Growing,
That's true, because we're not, because time like is a period of an elapsed yeah, period of time. So if it's not elapsing, it's not evolving, and yeah, we would probably all be babies, but then how would we all be baby? Who would be creating the babies? And then the person who's pregnant,
and then how do we create more people?
Do they stay the same age? And how did they get stuck in that age? Correct. With all these damn babies. Woo! Ooh, that was good. That's a whole, you know, okay. Kendra, we have to have a conversation on evolution. We all have to have a conversation.
I'm down.
So, all right. We tapped into the corporate glow up, the work glow up. There's nothing better than a new and improved mindset glow up. Like, when you realize that everything you ever learned is wrong, like 75% inaccurate, and that you have to relearn everything, that's the glow up. We did new business ventures, new hobbies, just finding your niche. We already went through that. So we tapped into all of those aforementioned concepts. And just a few other things I want to consider before we end the show. Just a brief little open discussion. Now, we talked about how certain people don't belong in your life. You don't need to have certain people in your circle. What happens in a situation where your friend doesn't glow up with you? Like, do you cut them off and say, you're going to stay back where you, like, you got to go? Or do you keep them for a certain purpose? Because I did, remember the episode that I did? If you haven't, make sure y'all go check that out. But I did one about having certain friends in your life and how certain friends could serve certain purposes.
Yeah, well, that happened to me. And I won't say who this person was, but it was a person in my life that I was super, super close, that was pretty much joined to the hips. Like, we lived, you know, in the same damn apartment building twice, and so we were like super, super tired. We'd hang out, do everything together, and like, we were like best friends, you know, to a degree. And this is when I was younger, like in my 20s. So as I started getting older, like, you know, going towards 25-ish, like 25 and older, so I was becoming a woman. Like, certain things that was fun, you know, when I was in early 20s, that wasn't fun to me no more. And I was, you know, trying to better myself, you know, as far as like my career and work went and who I surrounded myself with and, you know, trying to, you know, my glow up as a woman, because I was a young woman, but I was becoming a, you know, a grown woman, you know, in my lingo anyway. And this person was like, to me, she was stagnant. She was like still acting, you know, like she was 18, you know, like we were still carefree and, you know, hanging with people that I didn't want to, I never wanted to hang with in the first place, but I did hang with because I was hanging with her. And something I don't want to tell, because I don't think she would find your show anyway, but, you know, something happened to her in her life, and it kind of caused me to like lose respect for her as a person. And that showed me that we weren't on the same page anymore. Like, I felt like I had outgrown that friendship in my life, because she was, you know, I guess you can say wanted to be 18 forever. And I was becoming a grown ass woman, you know, and I did cut ties with her. I let her know, look, I love you. I'm always gonna have your back. Call me if you ever need anything. But like, I don't want to hang with you anymore. Like, I literally don't want to be associated. I didn't tell her I didn't want to be associated with her, but I did tell her, you know, I think our friendship is like over. I don't think we're growing. We're going in different ways in life, you know. And I did tell her that, and I did cut her off.
Ooh, you cold. You're a cold piece, Kendra.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, no, I'm only saying that because a lot of people won't tell their friends that they grew up with, or, you know, they were attached, as you say, attached at the hip. A lot of people won't tell that to people, you know, like, because honesty, that's a lot of people's worst fear. Honesty.
Yep.
You know, like for you to sit up there and tell that to somebody, like that's you cold. Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut in.
No, everybody said every time I tell that story to somebody, they tell me the same thing, and they like you didn't have to do it like that. But I'm what was I supposed to do? No, was I supposed to start ignoring her text and tell her I don't want? You know, like what was I supposed to do? It's the only thing I knew to do. That's why I did it.
Let it fly. Air that thing out. Let it. Okay.
And first of all, to piggyback off of that, Kendra, you were not wrong. You would be less of a friend if you let that shit slide and you did ignore phone calls and you stopped talking to her, because that's like
right.
That's what we like to call like some flaw shit. Like that's cap. So You don't do that. You were very straight up. You were to the point, and you were honest. And like you both said, like people don't want to hear honesty. Like people don't want to hear the truth. And I have a friend who gets on my ass and tells me the truth about myself all the time. And one thing that I can say is that is one of my most respected friends when it comes to accepting. Mm-hmm. And hearing certain things about myself, because I know it comes from a good place. It comes from an unbiased place, and it comes from a very honest place. And your friend, if she didn't get her act together after that, then she didn't want to do shit better. You know what I mean? Like your friends are there to make you better. And you told her that in a way to try to say, hey, listen, we not doing this. You're not aligned with me no more. And if she really wanted to salvage the friendship, she would have got in line and been like, you know what? This is kind of ridiculous. This is obnoxious. What I'm doing is immature. I need to be an adult. And if I'm saying I want to do adult things, then I need to do it and stop acting like a kid. So, girl, you were absolutely justified.
I mean, and then just to give an update, looking back, right? I think she's like 1 year older than me. I'm 34, so she's probably 35. I don't regret it. I would say she's probably still in that space where I left her. There's no growth still.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you said what you said.
Thank you. Did your due diligence. Thank you. And so coming from me, I highly recommend if there's someone in your life that is not growing with you, and maybe even keeping you stagnant by just hanging with them sometimes, I would definitely say, yeah, end it. What else can you do?
Correct. And then it's like, do you have friends that get you in check too, that be like, Kendra, no, like, and I mean,
I actually don't. And it's crazy, like, because I'm logical, that person, like, you know, I'm like, that person that's like, hey, I'm gonna call you out on your shit, but I can't say you. I have a circle like that.
Okay.
See, I knew I liked you. Yes, ma'am. I have a few of those friends.
Eric,
oh, wait a minute. Are we talking about the friends who check me?
So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Be honest.
Yeah, you're the friends who check you. You have homeboys that
I'll be. I'll be completely honest. I have.
And they honest, and you know.
I have a handful of friends. Like I can count. It's under 10. Some of these friends I've been friends with these guys for 20 plus years. I know it's 20 plus years, but I have friends from the military who, you know, sit up there and call me and put me in line, especially if I'm wilding out on social media. You know, like I have those friends in my corner because I know that it's coming from a good place. You know, a lot of friends that I lost, you know, some people aren't meant to grow with you. We already discussed that. And, but, you know, those friends that don't want to grow with you, we still want to take care of them some way. But sometimes you got, as Kendra said, you know, like Kendra did, sometimes you got to let that friend know, you know, you'll stop on this glow up, you know, you'll stop to get off. coming up pretty soon, you know. And if a friend like that is jealous of your glow up, like friends should want to see you win.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and
that's why Mary had a little lamb.
Period.
You know, like if a friend is jealous of your glow up, maybe they weren't your friend to begin with. Maybe you complimented them and you were an asset to them, but they were a liability to you.
Okay, now that's not just relationship stuff, y'all.
Hold on. Let me hold on. Let me word that. Maybe they exploited one of your self doubts that you had amongst yourself. Like, let's say, like me personally, I mean, still to this day, I got a little anxiety, but I'm very open and talk with people, but I'm an extroverted introvert. But Carla, when you sat up there and said that versatile friend, you was talking to me. You was talking to me on that episode. You was talking to me directly. She was talking to me. But like, cause you do got that woke friend. You do got that turn up friend. You got that like every friend that you talked about, that was me. But I do got those friends. I feel that my glow up. Like, they want to see me win because they love me genuinely.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think, like, the friends that I had who were jealous of where I've been, it's like, hey, yo, look, your stop coming up. And I just, it's not even, with guys, I guess it's different. It's like, yo, look, man, I'm doing this. You still doing that. We're not going in the same plan. We're not going on the same path. So, I still love you. I still love you. I still sit up there and wish your kids happy birthday and all of this, that, and the other. But yeah, you do. Yeah, that's what you said on that. That's what you said on that podcast. Okay.
With a long handle spoon.
You do.
You got to feed them with a long handle spoon. It's like, okay. And it takes a lot of maturity to do that, because some people really fuck you over to the point where you're like, I really should not fuck with you at all, you know. And it takes a lot of maturity for you to glow up and be like, you know what, you don't even know what you're doing right now. You are probably unaware. You are not even woke within yourself. Mm-hmm. You are still asleep. I can't be mad at you for shit that you refuse to see.
Speaking of people, I don't mean to cut you off. Hey, Kendra, did you ever call back Tyrone from your one episode?
Who is Tyrone?
We called him on the show Tyrone, the one who didn't know how to communicate with you. No,
surely did not.
Okay,
I did not.
That wasn't a glow up. I'm sorry, Carla. That's an inside joke.
Yeah, I don't think he glew up yet.
He ain't glue up yet. Okay. All
right. Oh no, it's fine. I'm
yeah, no, I don't think he glue up yet.
Yeah. Kendra had an interesting. I had to go and answer the question from Kendra yesterday when she talked about exes and
look, new relationships. I was so tired. I wanted to respond, but I was so busy watching your response to it, and I was like, damn, Carla, I can't really say anything. Thank you, Carla. Thank you. That's what I said. But no, like, okay, now all right, she blows it. Well, never mind. So like, okay, when you said
what an episode.
When you said that if you have kids together with your ex, that's one thing, you know, with your new relationship meeting. But was it Kendra or was it, I don't remember. No, I'm saying somebody said like you were in a different place.
Kendra started it. Kendra
when you was that your guest, Kendra, who said
That was my guest, and other people responded too, like, you know, I'm in a different place, so that's not the same person you're dating.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Okay, like me 1 year ago, I'll speak for me. Me 1 year ago is completely different from me 6 months ago, 9 months ago. Like I've grown. So for anyone that I'm dealing with or that I will deal with to meet one of my exes, you met a different version of me. And on the Uncomfortable Conversation, I do promote mental health awareness and seeking therapy. But like, I've done therapy for the past 360 yes. plus days, and I'm so happy with myself.
Good. That's so like, here.
Mm-hmm. So like anyone I dated before January when Kobe passed January 26th of 2020, anybody who met me before them, they y'all don't know me now.
Okay.
You don't know me. So my exes, like, I had an ex contact me, and she said that she's proud of me, and you know, like she said, she sees everything that I'm doing from afar.
Okay.
And she said, I'm proud of you because I always saw it in you, but you took it to a new level. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Nothing but love. You know, I hope everything is well with you, you and your family. Boom. Kept it cordial. And I look at that as like, if somebody saw the now Eric then, like we talking 7, 8 years ago. If you saw me back then, there's no limit to where I can go now because I have no ceiling. So no, you should not meet your ex, or your partner should not meet your ex. To answer your question,
I love that. I mean, if I break up with you today, tomorrow I'm a different bitch because I grow every day. Okay, and I'm gonna learn from whatever happened in that relationship. I'm just saying, like that's real life though. Like I do like to grow every day. I do like to look back from every day and see where I can be be better.
It was something hold on, I'm sorry, Kendra. It was something I wanted to ask. Like, if you sit up there and meet somebody's ex, wouldn't they bring up all of the toxic traits?
Right. Especially women.
Wouldn't they be like something to look out for? Like,
yeah,
even
exactly,
if it's not
Kendra.
There, even if like I told you
and
guys.
And they could be lying.
Exactly. Exactly. Like maybe old boy put it down and she want him back.
Correct.
So she gonna tell you all of the bad stuff so you can get rid of them.
You know what? And I'm gonna tell y'all something. I felt inclined to respond to Kendra's thing because it was such a good like question of the day for one. And for it was great. And for two, like I've had like a personal experience like that. And like you said, Kendra, on your video, one of your videos that I was watching, you said like, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't fuck with a lot of females. Like I don't have a lot of female friends. I just don't have a lot of friends in general.
Yeah.
And I resonated with that because I'm the same way. Like I typically don't fuck with that. You'd like, no. And I had a situation where, you know, I met an ex and it was just messy. It was petty. And it almost seemed like she was trying to ruin the relationship. So it's just like, that's why when in the video, I was like, women are petty as fuck. And men are too. But women are petty and like, they don't want to see the next one doing better or they don't want to see the guy that they were with doing better with the next chick, and then they hate that and they try to sabotage that and that really irks my nerves because like I don't have time to play games. I am too old and I do not like to play with people. I don't want people to play with me and I don't want to play with people, you know, so I try to, you know, move to a certain standard. But then you know what we have to remember is being like the type of women that we are, Kendra, is that we have to always remember
that the truth.
People
are
not gonna give us the same respect, the same courtesy, and the same energy. So we just gotta keep doing shit with a good heart, whether they like it or they don't like it. Oh well, then don't talk to me if you if I helped
then
you.
Lastly,
I'm
I just
grateful,
wanted to go back
you know?
To what Eric was saying really quick about how his ex reached out and said, "Hey, you know, I'm proud of you, and you know the growth that you've has happened because I've seen that in you." Kudos to her. Just because I feel like as women, why is it not okay to see a man that you were with, even if he wasn't good to you, be good to another woman? Doesn't that mean he's grown? Like, do you really want him to go leave that relationship and not learn anything? Because that's not, you're not growing as a human, and repeat those same activities or whatever behaviors in that next relationship, why are women so upset that a man leave us and go to the next woman and treat her better? He's supposed to do that. Is he not supposed to grow? Is women, he not supposed women, to learn from his too. Last relationship?
Women are too. I will say, like, I was a horrible communicator. And I learned that, but it took for that whole breakdown, that whole blow up for like, you never expressed this, you this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay. So I had to go through that breakup to sit up there and realize,
yes. Hey,
maybe I should talk more about how I feel. Maybe I should get more in tune with myself. And fellas who sit up there and fellas who are broken, I mean, I'm sorry, Carla. I'm not taking over your podcast, but I'm just saying, fellas, if y'all have any type of, seek some no, type of help, maybe therapy no, ain't for good. You. Talk to your aunties, talk to your sisters, your cousins, because they're going to tell you about, especially family, they're going to tell you about yourself. You know, like, they're going to let you know what you need to work on and take it with a grain of salt and learn from it. Don't think of it as hate. Because everybody wants to, you know, family, especially family wants to see the better you. And you don't want to sit up there and bring that broken man into a good woman and sit up there and mess her all the way up. Because then, you know, you'd be suffering with the one that got away. I'm just sorry, fellas. My bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Carla. Go ahead. You got it.
Well, no, you're good. And then my question would be is, why does it take the breakup for a man to understand what he needs to learn? Like, why does it take that? Like, why is it that within that relationship you couldn't glow up in that relationship? And it took you.
It's not a self growth thing. Like, it's one of is those. I wasn't ready.
That,
you know, like, you know, I at that point in my life,
okay,
we're talking that's eight, fair. Nine, that's wait, it's 2021? Yeah, we're talking 9, 8 years ago. I wasn't ready. Yep. Like, I personally was not ready to communicate how I felt. I was personally not ready to discuss what bothered me. I just kind of like, we're like, all right, man, whatever. It is what it is. You know, it took for me to, because I thought I was happy until I found happiness. You know, like until I understood what being happy and especially knowing what some of my faults were to glow up. Like, I thought I was okay then. I thought I was a pretty decent guy. I thought I was okay, but it wasn't until I was like, hey, wait, what's going on? What you mean I don't talk to you? This, that, and the other. And then it took for me to lose that. And it's like, all right, let me work on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't ready. And a lot of guys, they may leave that relationship. Okay. I may jump into another relationship and destroy that woman. I'm sorry. You know, like, because if you're not ready for a relationship, let me reword that. If you're not right with yourself, don't jump into a relationship when you're not ready, fellas. Like, seriously, because you can sit up there, you can find you a great woman, and you can tear her down and have her questioning her worth, and nobody.
Wow, ain't that the truth?
Sorry. I told you, Eric from last year. I mean, Eric from 2019 wouldn't have said this at all. I deny it.
Eric, I want to thank you for sharing like your experiences with mental health and stuff like that. I really don't talk about it much, but I do struggle with my own mental health concerns. I go to therapy. I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, so I am moody as fuck. I take medication. I have anxiety like nobody's business. So I appreciate you for being an advocate, because sometimes it is rough. Each day is a different challenge when you're dealing with your emotions or when you're dealing with anxiety or, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, with mental health just in general. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate you guys for taking your time out on a Friday night and just chatting with me.